planet yang lain, dikirim ke bumi untuk orang-orang sepertiku. Sepertinya kau memang dari planet yang jauh, dikirim ke bumi untuk datang menemani aku.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal. Today, you can listen to us on voinews.id, RRI Digital, and shortwave broadcast on 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Right now, you are listening to the highlights of the week, which presents you events that happened in Indonesia for this week. Indonesia urges citizens to follow official Hajj procedures. Andi Ramdoni has the details.
The Indonesian government urged its citizens to follow the procedures set by the Saudi Arabian government for the Hajj pilgrimage. The Director for the Protection of Indonesian Citizens at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yuda Nugraha, on Sunday asked Indonesians to have a valid visa that matched their Hajj needs.
Dalam kesempatan ini, kami juga kembali menghimbau kepada seluruh warga negara Indonesia yang ingin.
At this opportunity, we also remind all Indonesian citizens who want to perform Hajj to follow the procedures in Saudi Arabia. Please make sure to have a valid Hajj visa and register through the Nusuk application. We strongly urge everyone not to force themselves to travel by unofficial means.
Melalui cara-cara yang non-prosedural.
Earlier, an Indonesian citizen with the initials SM was found dead in the desert area of Jumum, Mecca, Saudi Arabia. SM was arrested during a raid by Saudi authorities but chose to enter Mecca again through the desert. SM was found dead on May 27. Two others were found weak from dehydration. The Indonesian government, through its representatives in Saudi Arabia, is coordinating with local authorities to handle the autopsy and the body. Andi Ramdoni, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia's export continue to grow strongly, showing a 6.7% increase in the first 4 months of 2025. Andi Ramdoni reports.
Indonesia's exports grew by 6.7% to reach over $87 billion in the first 4 months of 2025, according to data released by the Central Statistics Agency on Monday. This marks a significant increase compared to the same period last year, when exports totaled over $81 billion. Deputy of Distribution and Service Statistics at the agency, Puji Ismartini, said the growth was mainly driven by non-oil and gas exports, which make up the majority of Indonesia's shipment abroad.
Tiga besar negara tujuan ekspor pada Januari hingga April 2025.
The top three export destinations from January to April 2025 were China, the United States, and India. Export to these three countries made up approximately 40.99% of Indonesia's total non-oil and gas export during this period.
2025.
According to Puji, China remains Indonesia's largest export market, importing products such as iron, steel, mineral fuels, and nickel. The United States follows as the second biggest destination, buying electric machinery, footwear, and knitwear. India ranks third, with key imports including mineral fuels, animal and vegetable fats, and iron and steel products. Andi Ramdoni, Voice of Indonesia.
All Indonesian Hajj pilgrims have now arrived safely in the Holy Land and are preparing for the next phase of their journey. Dora Parire has the details.
The Secretary General of Indonesia's Ministry of Religious Affairs, Kamarudin Amin, confirmed that all Indonesian pilgrims are now in Makkah. In a press conference in Makkah on Sunday, he said around 203,000 pilgrims, divided into over 5,000 flight groups, have completed the arrival phase and are now entering a quiet period.
sebanyak 203.149 jemaah.
This is a major achievement that we should all be grateful for. It is also a time to strengthen the physical, mental, and spiritual readiness of all pilgrims before heading to Arafah, Muzdalifah, and Mina, what we call our Musnah.
Sekaligus menjadi momen untuk memperkuat kesiapan fisik, mental, dan spiritual seluruh jemaah. Persiapan menuju Arafah, Muzdalifah dan Mina atau Armusna.
Kamarudin also said the journey to Arafah will begin on the 8th of Zulhijjah or June 4. He urged pilgrims to focus and prepare themselves for the next stage. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Presiden Prabowo says Pancasila unites Indonesia amid global challenges. Dora Pardede has the report.
President of Indonesia Prabowo Subianto says the national ideology Pancasila continues to serve as a unifying force for the Indonesian people in the face of global uncertainty. Speaking at the Pancasila Day commemoration in Jakarta on Monday, President Prabowo urged all Indonesians to stay united in facing global challenges.
Indonesia is in the midst of global challenges. We must be strong because our strength can only come if we are united. We can only be strong if our country is free from misappropriation, corruption, manipulation, and fraud. I think this is the essence of what I want to say. I ask everyone once again, all Indonesian people, to be united.
President Prabowo also emphasized the importance of defending and promoting the values of Pancasila to move Indonesia forward as a great nation. He called on all parts of society, especially the younger generation, to take an active role in protecting the country's integrity. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Timor-Leste strengthens ties with Indonesia through culture and trade. Desi Anugranov has the detail.
Timor-Leste Deputy Prime Minister Francisco Calbuadile says his country shares a strong and growing relationship with Indonesia. He described the bond as both economic and cultural, with close ties between people in both nations. In an interview with RRI Voice of Indonesia on Saturday in Jakarta, Francisco said most of Timor-Leste's imports come from Indonesia.
We have a lot of cooperation. About 70% of our imports come from Indonesia, and our relationship with Indonesians is very close. For example, even though I've been away from Indonesia for a long time, in Timor-Leste, it really feels like we follow almost all Indonesian culture. Young people especially love Indonesian songs and also cultural things like movies and soap operas. That's something really amazing.
He added that cultural influence from Indonesia remains strong in Timor-Leste, especially among the younger generations. He also pointed to the strong social bond between the two countries, with many Timorese living in Indonesia and many Indonesian living in Timor-Leste. Francisco expressed hope that this brotherhood between nations will continue to grow stronger and support cooperation in trade, culture, and humanitarian effort. Desi Anugranov, Voice of Indonesia.
On World No Tobacco Day, Indonesia pushes for stricter e-cigarette and tobacco control. Here is Ofra Regina with more.
On World No Tobacco Day, Indonesia's Ministry of Health has called for tighter regulations on both conventional cigarettes and e-cigarettes. This statement was delivered during a media briefing on Monday. Director of Non-Communicable Diseases, Dr. Siti Nadia Tarmizi, stressed the need to protect vulnerable groups, especially children and teenagers, through stronger policies, including higher tobacco taxes.
Makanya oleh karena itu kita perlu ada aturan yang ketat
That's why we need stricter rules, especially to protect children and teenagers. We also need stronger fiscal policies like higher tobacco taxes. Government Regulation No. 28 of 2024 already outlines steps to control tobacco and e-cigarette use. E-cigarettes are our main concern right now. Siti Nadia Tarmizi added that World No Tobacco Day is an important reminder of the dangers of smoking and called for a complete ban on tobacco advertising, promotions, and sponsorship, especially those targeting the younger generation. Ova Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Presiden Prabowo rolls out 24.44 trillion rupiah economic stimulus package to maintain growth momentum. Dora Pardede has the detail.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto led a limited meeting with a number of ministers of the Red and White Cabinet at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, Monday, to respond to the increasing risk of weakening the national economy due to global pressure. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani told the media that in the meeting, the government officially rolled out an economic stimulus package worth 24.54 trillion rupiah to maintain the growth rate and strengthen the stability of the national economy.
In response to the possibility of increased risk and weakening of the national economy due to global impacts, today the president has also decided to provide a stimulus package so that economic growth can maintain its momentum and economic stability continues to be strengthened.
Ekonomi dapat dijaga momentumnya dan juga stabilitas perekonomian terus diperkuat.
Sri Mulyani explained that in order to support public mobility, the government is providing a stimulus package including a transportation mode discount program during school holidays and the start of the new academic year, June to July 2025, in the form of a 30% discount for trains, a 6% value-added tax cut for plane tickets, and a 50% discount for sea transportation. The government has also allocated a budget of 11.93 trillion rupiah to thicken social assistance. Sri Mulyani further explained that the next stimulus package is a wage subsidy assistance of 300,000 rupiah per month for 2 months for 17.3 million workers with salaries below 3.5 million rupiah or below the provincial or district or city minimum wage, as well as for 565,000 honorary teachers from the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education and the Ministry of Religion. The government also extended a 50% discount on work accident insurance contribution for 2.7 million workers in 6 labor-intensive industries. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesian government ensures distribution of social assistance in the second quarter uses single national socio-economic data. Dora Pardede has the detail.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto led a limited meeting with a number of ministers of the Red and White Cabinet at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, Monday, to respond to the increasing risk of weakening the national economy due to global pressure. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani told the media that in the meeting, the government officially rolled out an economic stimulus package worth 24.54 trillion rupiah to maintain the growth rate and strengthen the stability of the national economy.
Of the 20.3 million beneficiary families, currently 16.5 million have been verified by the Financial and Development Supervisory Agency. And of the 16.5 million, 14.3 million are indeed in deciles 1 to 4 and have begun to be distributed by the Minister of Social Affairs as of the end of May 31st.
Sri Mulyani explained that in order to support public mobility, the government is providing a stimulus package including a transportation mode discount program during school holidays and the start of the new academic year, June to July 2025 in the form of a 30% discount for trains, a 6% value-added tax cut for plane tickets, and a 50% discount for sea transportation. The government has also allocated a budget of 11.93 trillion rupiah to thicken social assistance. Sri Mulyani further explained that the next stimulus package is a wage subsidy assistance of 300,000 rupiah per month for 2 months for 17.3 million workers with salaries below 3.5 million rupiah or below the provincial or district or city minimum wage, as well as for 565,000 honorary teachers from the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education and the Ministry of Religion. The government also extended a 50% discount on work accident insurance contribution for 2.7 million workers in 6 labor-intensive industries. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World.
The Indonesian government has officially launched an economic stimulus package worth 24.44 trillion rupiah to support national economic growth and stability. Ranov has the detail.
Indonesian Minister of Social Affairs Saifullah Yusuf emphasized on Monday that the stimulus also focuses on protecting vulnerable groups through well-targeted social assistance.
Apa yang disampaikan tadi menunjukkan bahwa Presiden.
What was presented earlier shows that the President truly cares about families and vulnerable groups who need support and help from the government. That is why the President wants to make sure that the assistance goes to the right people, those who really need and deserve government support.
Sampai kepada mereka yang memang membutuhkan bantuan pemerintah dan berhak mendapatkan bantuan dari pemerintah.
The minister also said the government is paying close attention to the accuracy of aid recipient data to ensure that the assistance reaches those who truly qualify. As part of this stimulus, the government is also adding 10 kilograms of rice assistance for 18.3 million beneficiary families with a total value of over 11 trillion rupiah. This policy highlights two main strategies: improving the accuracy of aid recipient data and increasing direct support for poor and extremely poor families in the first income decile.
Indonesia begins building world's first fully integrated electric vehicle battery ecosystem in 2025. Nora Pardede has the details.
Indonesia will break ground on the world's first fully integrated electric vehicle battery ecosystem in June 2025. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia announced the plan during the Human Capital Summit in Jakarta on Tuesday. The project will involve an investment of 6 to 7 billion US dollars.
Investasi sekitar 6 sampai 7 miliar US dollar.
An investment of around 6 to 7 billion US dollars, the first full electric vehicle battery ecosystem in the world, from mining, smelter, high-pressure acid leach, precursor, cathode to battery cell. This has never existed before.
Bahlil said several European countries had aims to build electric vehicle battery cells near their car factories. But he insisted that precursor and cathode production must remain in Indonesia. He said the country is building a complete electric vehicle battery ecosystem to support the shift to green energy. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia inaugurates world-class data center JK6. Dora Pardede has the detail.
Indonesia has officially launched JK6, a world-class data center with 36 megawatts of capacity, fully built by local talent. Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs Mutia Hafidz, speaking at the JK6 data center launch at DCI Indonesia in Bekasi, West Java on Tuesday, said the project marks a major leap in the country's digital infrastructure.
Today's launch of Data Center Indonesia proves that we can build world-class digital infrastructure ourselves. We are not just users, but also key operators of strategic digital nodes, with data center as the backbone linking digital input to growth in the real sector. Digital downstreaming will lead to a more inclusive, sovereign, and sustainable economy.
Minister Mutia said JK6 is part of Indonesia's digital transformation agenda. The program stands on 4 pillars. These include infrastructure and spectrum, digital talents, devices and application, and adaptive policies. She said JK6 will support digital services in public administration, national industries, artificial intelligence, and government platforms. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia and Canada agree to send Indonesian health workers. Ofra Regina has the detail.
The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers, has signed an agreement with New Brunswick, Canada. This will allow Indonesian healthcare workers to work in Canada. The agreement was signed online and witnessed by Minister Abdul Kadir Karding in West Sumatra on Tuesday. Minister Abdul Kadir said this is the first step to send skilled Indonesian healthcare workers to Canada. He said this program will grow with more workers and in other job fields.
What is happening today is something we are proud of. This cooperation is only the start. We want to send more Indonesian workers abroad and open new job fields.
The minister asked workers to follow European work standards to maintain Canada's trust. Sending healthcare workers to Canada has been planned for 3 years and support President Prabowo Subianto's goal to work with Europe and America. Indonesia also has agreements with Germany and Poland and is looking at other countries like Austria, Hungary, Slovakia, Spain, and the United States. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia's micro, small, and medium enterprises export reach 1 trillion rupiah. Ofra Regina has the detail.
Indonesia's Trade Minister Budi Santoso announced that exports from micro, small, and medium enterprises reached over $68 million, approximately 1 trillion rupiah, between January and May 2025. He made this announcement during the send-off of a micro, small, and medium enterprise footwear export worth $38,000 to Kuwait in Surabaya on Tuesday. Minister Budi Santoso said that stronger trade networks and improved product quality have helped these enterprises export, grow, and compete both globally and domestically.
First and foremost, micro, small, and medium enterprise products must have quality and be competitive. When products have quality, they can compete well. Besides being loved by local consumers, they can also reduce the demand for imported products because people prefer to use domestic goods.
This footwear shipment to Kuwait is the third export after earlier deliveries to Timor Leste and Libya. An Indonesian small business group, Rumah Jedia, leads the effort, connecting 50 East Java businesses and over 400 others nationwide through online trade programs. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
President calls health minister to discuss COVID-19 surge and hospital construction. Desi Anugranov has the detail.
President Prabowo Subianto called health minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin to Merdeka Palace on Tuesday. At the meeting, Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin gave updates on several health issues in the country, including the rise in COVID-19 cases. After the meeting, he told the media that the current COVID-19 variant spreading are mild and not deadly.
I said that yes, COVID cases are rising, but the increase is caused by variants that are relatively not deadly. So people shouldn't worry too much. We don't want panic.
Terlalu dikhawatirkan supaya masyarakat nggak panik.
The minister also told the president that the program to build 66 hospitals is moving faster. Instead of 5 years, it will not take 2 years. 32 hospitals will be finished in 2025 and the rest next year. The freehold check has helped 7.8 million people by early June 2025. It will grow to include school, aiming to reach 50 million people. The minister also reported that tuberculosis screening is better now because of cheaper tests and faster treatment. Desi Anugranov for Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that's the highlights of the week. Listener, let's listen to our Voice Talk with title Tuberculosis Vaccine with Professor Dr. Chandra Yoga, as Director of Postgraduate Studies, Yarsi University, and former Director of Infectious Disease, WHO, Southeast Asia, 2018 up to 2020, hosted by Ahmad Faisal. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, you know that tuberculosis is an infectious disease caused by the bacterium Mycobacterium tuberculosis, which usually affects the lungs but also affects other body organs. You know that the disease is transmitted through the air when an infected person coughs, sneezes, or talks. And related to this, listener, on the Void Talk, we have special interview talking about tuberculosis vaccine with Director of Postgraduate Studies, Yarsi University, former Director of Infectious Diseases, World Health Organization, Southeast Asia, 2018 up to 2020, Bapak Profesor Dr. Chandra Yoga. Good afternoon, Prof. Chandra Yoga.
Good afternoon.
With me, Faisal, and this new Prof. Chandra.
Hello, Faisal.
Hello, how are you today, Prof. Chandra?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you very much, Prof., for your time and solid attention, join this special interview today. And
My pleasure. Thank
okay.
you for inviting me.
Okay. Well, Prof. Chandra, before we talk more about tuberculosis vaccine, actually, how do you see the spread of tuberculosis illness in Indonesia so far, Prof?
Well, let me begin in general, because you mentioned about the TB or tuberculosis is due to a bacteria called Mycobacterium tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. This bacteria was found on 1882, so it's more than 150 years already. Mm-hmm. That's number one fact. After the disease was, the bacteria was found, several years after that, several medication for treat TB has also been found. Mm. So we know the disease, we know the bacteria that caused it, and we have the drug, we have the treatment. But up to now, TB is still a big problem globally as well as in Indonesia. So that is the beginning of why we have this discussion today. So for globally, there are millions of people get TB every year and also pass away because of TB. And for Indonesia, about a million new cases every year of TB, and 100 something. So about every 15 minutes, one people will die because of TB in Indonesia. So that is more or less the situation. And of course, we all know that there are several countries who has a big number of TB cases in the world. Number one is in India, and number two is Indonesia. So we contribute, maybe contribute is not a good word, but anyway, the second largest number of new TB cases in the world globally is Indonesia. So that is our problem for TB in the country.
Mm-hmm. So especially in Indonesia, Prof, usually most infectious for this illness, coming from children or adult, doctor?
Both. This TB can affect children, can affect adult as well. So affect any age.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this cannot mention about only children, but also adults. Yeah? So all factors, all ages can also experience about this illness, Prof.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so Prof. Chandra, we have already heard that Indonesia, the readiness of Indonesian government to become a test site for a new TB vaccine. So how do you see this, Prof. Chandra?
Okay, before going to that one, so as we already discussed earlier, the TB is a public health problem globally as well for Indonesia. So because TB is public health problem globally, so at the Sustainable Development Goal SDG target, it was targeted that the the epidemic of TB should be, you know, controlled by 2013. But as you know, this SDG was established before COVID. So after COVID, there are some disruption on TB control elsewhere in the world. So there are several, also there are several in a global international declaration to mention what is when TB can be eliminated or at least controlled. There is target of 2030, there is target of 2035, etc. To be able to reach that target, since we already know the treatment, I mean, we already know the bacilli, we already know the treatment, we need a vaccine. So that's why there are a very big movement to find a new vaccine for TB. Why I said a new vaccine? Because now we have vaccine, what we call it BCG, Bacillus Calmette Guérin. This TB vaccine was found in 1921. So it's already more than 100 years ago.
How?
But it cannot, it has also an impact for children for two things. It can reduce the severity of TB in children, but it can, and also it can reduce the possibility of death due to TB. But it cannot prevent the transmission.
Hmm.
So even you got the vaccine that are available now, you can still be get TB, even though after vaccination. So that's why globally people are trying to find a new vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So WHO in this regard have several pipeline. I mean, have a pipeline which vaccine is good or not good, etc. And now we are still in the process. And now before there were several candidates of the new vaccine. Now at least there are two or three candidates that hopefully it can be processed more to be able to see the result after clinical trial. So that's the whole picture. Okay. So one of that vaccine, of course, all of that vaccine need a clinical trial. As you may know, there are three steps of clinical trial: phase one, phase two, phase three, and then after that, it can be produced, and then phase four clinical trial will be done. So at least there are two or three now already finished the phase two trial.
Mm-hmm.
The result is quite okay after phase two. Now we are going, we are beginning the phase three. One of the vaccine that are in phase three have clinical trial in Indonesia. It's already happening, actually, starting last year. So Indonesia is one of the country now performing the clinical trial phase three of one of the candidate TB vaccine. That is the situation.
So this really important, yeah, Professor. Because of this, we can say like the previous vaccine that you said before. I mean, Indonesia has already used the vaccine for many years. That's why the new vaccine is really important to be used by Indonesian people, and not even also for Indonesian people, also people in the world, Prof. Chandra. So, talking, I'm really interested what you said, Prof, about we must also know about the four phases before as the fourth is able to be produced directly, Prof. For the three phases trials, Prof, that you said before, actually in what province maybe or in what city, I mean, especially of Indonesia also, that really especially really needed for this use for, Prof?
So the new vaccine, new drug, or those kind of things will have to go a clinical trial in several countries.
Okay.
Because the new drug or the new vaccine will be used globally. It will not be used only in one or two country. So that is what we call a multi-country clinical trial.
Okay.
So the phase one might be only performed in only few countries, but the phase two, more countries. Phase three, more countries.
Hmm.
So at the end of the day, all of the results will be combined into one.
Okay.
Whether the vaccine is effective or not effective. I will just give hypothetically explanation, might not be correct. So for instance, the clinical trial is done in 5 countries. This is not about TB vaccine, but any drug happening in 10 countries, in 5 countries. If in 4 countries, I mean, in one country successful, but in 4 countries not successful, it doesn't mean that drug vaccine can be used in this country. That is so no.
Oh, okay.
because this is a combination result globally. We combine all of the results from several countries. Then we will say, okay, so this vaccine is basically there are two things: is safe and is effective. So it should be safe, but it also should be effective. If the limit of safety and efficacy is there, then vaccine can be produced later on.
So, Prof. Chandra, it was previously that, I mean, a number of countries have also been selected and are carrying out trials of this TB vaccine. If Indonesia already later selected as TB vaccine trial country, so what kind of benefits, Prof, actually, that Indonesian government, even Indonesia overall, of getting this benefit from, Prof, from this vaccine?
This is the question that you already prepared and it was sent to me. It's a little bit not so correct. You know, from the very beginning, it was mentioned, it was already planned that this clinical trial will be done in 5 countries. So not 4 countries first and after that added Indonesia. No, that's not correct. So from the very beginning, clinical trial phase 3 of this particular vaccine will be done in 5 countries. Okay. It's already begin on 2024. So, and how many participant in each country, also globally they choose, because there is a system, a sampling system, how to choose which country, which area, how many participant, how many thousand from this country, how many thousand from that country. So after that, again, the clinical trial will be run in all of that country, as we mentioned before, then the result will be combined, all of that result. So if the question, what is the benefit of clinical trial in Indonesia? Benefit number one is, of course, our scientists now is a part of the global scientists that perform the clinical trial. That is the benefit number one. The benefit number two, of course, we could improve our knowledge and science in a vaccine clinical trial that's very good for our scientific community. As at this present time, since this is just the beginning of the phase 3, we will see the result later on. I mean, you cannot link the clinical trial now with the result of the Indonesian people later on. That is too early to say as of now. Let's see all of the 5 countries perform the clinical trial. I think they said about 2-3 years, maybe 2027 or 2028, there will be a result, and we will see the result. If the result is good, then it will be produced, etc.
Okay. Prof. Chandra, this is really happened in Indonesia because, you know, we know that not many Indonesian people, especially in the city of Jakarta, I haven't ever seen that many also people really reject about vaccine, Prof. So in this case, according to you, are there also challenges and obstacles in implementing TB vaccination in Indonesia, Prof?
Again, if we relate that one with the clinical trial, that's two different story. For the new vaccine, it is still under development. It is still under clinical trial. We do not know the result after the trial was finished. Maybe 2028 again. That's one thing. But the other thing, vaccination is a normal procedure. We have vaccination for COVID. We have vaccination for TB with the old vaccine. We have vaccination for polio. There are several vaccination happening now in the community, and I believe for COVID, I think most of us get COVID vaccination. For vaccination for children, most of the children, because you're talking about Jakarta, already received several kind of vaccination, and the government trying to increase the coverage number of vaccination to prevent more diseases. So vaccination is kind of way to prevent disease. That's one thing. For TB, now is giving the BCG vaccine, the one that found in 1921. For this new vaccine, we will see the result later on.
Okay. Prof, we have also a question from our listener, Prof. Can TBC be cured by having the vaccine, sir? I mean, yeah, whether old vaccine or maybe for this also current vaccine, actually people who get get infectious, yeah, from tuberculosis, can they be cured to be healthy again, sir? And never get infectious again after they are healthy?
Okay. Number one, vaccine is for preventing disease. Mm, okay. Vaccine is not for curing. Vaccine is not a treatment. For treatment, there is another thing called drugs, medicine. So we get vaccine to be for us not to get the disease. We receive COVID vaccine for us not to get the COVID-19. Or at least if we get COVID-19, will not be the severe one. That's vaccine. Curing or treatment is different things. As we mentioned earlier, we already have TB drug from 1940-something already being done. Mm-hmm. But the problem of TB medication is for 6 months. This is too quite long. People has to finish it in 6 months. Now there is a new medication. It is shortened to 4 months, but still 4 months. Okay? So if the treatment is only several days, maybe it's easy because the treatment is several months. So it will need some, you know, continuity of the people to get it. But that is for treatment. Vaccines is another issue. So if the hope is this vaccine could prevent people to get the disease, not to be cured, because if it is already get the disease, then it is not the job of vaccine, but the job of drug or medicine.
Okay. Prof, this is really interesting to ask you more detail, Prof. Because Indonesia, especially in public transportation, sometimes the passengers are really crowded, Prof. Maybe in Transjakarta, right? Maybe in public transportation like train, lots of people are crowded in the bus or even in the train, Prof. The question is, besides having TB vaccine, is there any way to protect ourselves in order not to be infected with tuberculosis, Prof?
Okay, there are three things. Number one, to be able to protect ourselves from TB, from any kind of disease, is to perform our healthy behavior. Eat well, exercise, sleep well, etc. Mm-hmm. So those kind of behavior, healthy behavior, should be, you know, part of our daily life, because health is very important. We know that health is important, but so that's number one. Okay, number two, if there is a patient, if there is a case with TB, that particular patient should get treatment, not only for him or her to be cured, mm-hmm. but only for him, also for him, her, not to transmit other people. So that is curing for them is important. That is 2A, I can say. For 2B, since you know now there's also a increasing of on COVID cases, using wearing masks for people who are coughing or for is should be a how could I say? Should be a habit. So if you are coming or you have a fever, better stay at home. But if you cannot stay at home and you have to go, please wear a mask. So if you come, not transmit it to other people. Okay, so number one is healthy behavior. Number two is treating people, treating the one who had a disease or wearing mask, etc. Mm-hmm. And number three is vaccine. Those are the way to prevent people from getting the disease.
Okay, sir. Prof. Chanda, so far, how do you see about the availability of medical instrument in Indonesia? I mean, especially for all, I can say like, yeah, some hospital, is it, I mean, should the Indonesian government be able to give such, yeah, I can say like new advanced technologies for, sir, especially in order to get such new medical instrument so that the infectious people of TB can be can have such better, much better treatment than before, sir.
Yeah, so again, now we are talking about diagnosis. So there are three things. To prevent is using vaccine. to treat is using medicinal drug. Now we are talking about to get to know whether people have a disease or not. That is the diagnosis part. Before maybe 10, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. this diagnosis only by you have to go by a sputum. So I mean, if TB people coughing, it has sputum coming from the lung. Mm-hmm. So we examine that sputum under the microscope, the ordinary microscope. Then we can see whether it has a TB bacilli or not. That is before. Now there is a new technology.
Okay.
Like something similar with the test for COVID-19. We have a molecular test, rapid molecular test for TB. And because you said hospital, it's not only available in hospital, it should be available in health center. And it is available in health center. So the rapid molecular test for TB is available in health center. And maybe we remember that because as you mentioned, TB is affected the lung, so there should be an X-ray of the lung. X-ray of the lung, we already know from many minutes ago, but there's no now new development. There is an AI, artificial intelligence aspect on the X-ray. So the new technology now is, number one, is the rapid molecular test. And number two is the AI X-ray machine for diagnosis TB. The rapid molecular test is available in the health center, especially because you mentioned keep mentioning about Jakarta. For sure, Jakarta they have, but this X-ray with artificial intelligence, I think the availability is increasing. I mean, it's not all health center for sure, but people can get it from several sources in Jakarta as well as in other part of the country.
Okay. All right, finally, we have the last question, Prof. Chandra. Do you have any such suggestion maybe or messages for Indonesian people so that they are able to prevent from tuberculosis? Go ahead, Prof.
Okay, now, yes. Number one, we have to know that TB is still with us. Not only in Indonesia, but there's... I was in Australia last week. There's also TB in Australia. Last month, I was in New York. There was also TB in New York. So everywhere there is TB. Of course, their number is very small compared to us. So, but TB is still with us. In most of the country, there's still TB. So if there is there's a news about TB like this, you know, this is a part of TB because TB is still with us. That's number one. Number two, TB patient can be cured 100%.
100%.
So if there is a TB patient, of course, there is some consideration if it is resistant or if the render cannot be cured easily. But quote unquote, a TB can be cured by the treatment if the patient took the treatment as requested by the doctor. So if it is 6 months, they have to take it for 6 months. Don't stop before the end. Because usually after 2-3 months there will be no more complaint. People said, "Why do I have to take medication? I have no more coughing, no nothing." But it has to be continued until the end. So TB can be treated. Yeah, if you took the medication, you know, as requested. Again, of course, there are several small percentages. If special case with TB with comorbid or TB with this and that or resistant, it can be cured. That's number two. Number three, regarding the topic of our discussion, vaccine is important for TB, for COVID, for everything. So if there is a new vaccine with better protection to prevent any disease, is very good. So for TB, now there is still a vaccine under phase three clinical trial.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to wait the result, and we do hope that the result will be good. Then maybe we can have another discussion in two, three years after we know the result of this clinical trial. By the way, before I forgot, for Indonesia, there is a special presidential decree for TB control. It was established, I think, 2021. There is a target on 2030. So now it's already 2025. I do not know whether that target 2030 could be, you know, achieved or not. But let's do our part to control TB. I avoid to use the terminology elimination, but might be difficult to really eliminate, but to control TB by 2030, at least as in line with the presidential decree for TB in 2021 that we have.
All right. Thank you very much, Prof. Chandra Yoga, for your time to give us very, very clear explanation about tuberculosis vaccine. So hopefully this can also be as a good way for Indonesian people, for Indonesian government, so that people are able to prevent from tuberculosis illness. Thank you, Prof. Chandra. Good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you.
All right, listener, that was our special interview on the Void Talk with Director of Postgraduate Studies, YARSI University, former Director of Infectious Diseases, World Health Organization, Southeast Asia, 2018 up to 2020, Professor Dr. Chandra Yoga. Listener, I am Ahmad Faisal. I would like to say thank you very much for your time and attention to listen to our program. Have a nice weekend and see you next time. Bye-bye.